to praise you. You move us to delight in praising you, for you have formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find rest in you. So writes Augustine of Hippo in his autobiography from the late 300s called Confessions. That's a delicious name for an autobiography, if you ask me. Confessions. It promises all sorts of sordid tales of a sinful life, and yet it also provides a confession of faith in the God who created the universe. So in these 13 very long chapters, Augustine does lament the sinful and immoral life he led. And in case you're curious, he does include some particular stories of his sinful life. And he tells those stories throughout the book up until the very point he found God. Or rather, God found him. And so this very first chapter of this book contains some of Augustine's most beloved thoughts, included here as a preface to a prayer. And he writes, "You have formed us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find rest in you." Our restless hearts are always searching for what seems to be missing, searching for the next best thing, the next step up on the ladder of success, the next mountain to climb, the next achievement to add to our resume. Our restless hearts search for what's missing online or at the mall, where we spend money we don't have on things we don't need. We search for what's missing in the bottom of the bottle, or as we reach into the refrigerator again, or in the gossipy text message that we send about a friend, hoping that pointing out someone else's fault will make us feel better about ourselves. But if only our restless hearts knew that the search is over, that God has created us for Him, for rest in Him. Once we have that, we don't have to search anymore. When Augustine talks of rest, he's talking about the security and the comfort of salvation in Jesus Christ, our only comfort in life and in death. He's talking about salvation through grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, as witnessed to by Scripture alone. Once our hearts find this rest, our only response is gratefulness. Or as Augustine would say, to delight in praising God. Or as Martin Luther, father of this Protestant Reformation, we've been talking about for 4 weeks now, would put it, to give glory to God alone. Which for those of you keeping track at home, is the fifth big idea of the five ideas from the Reformation that we've been talking about. Giving glory to God alone. Alas, alack, this is where things get sticky. Because when it comes to glory, our restless hearts would much rather really keep that glory for ourselves than give it back to God. Even once we've found our rest in Him, we bask in the warm congratulations and adulation of a hearty job well done, patting ourselves on the back for all of the hard work we put into whatever it is we are being congratulated for. John 12, verse 43 astutely observes, "We love human glory more than the glory that comes from God." We are greedy for glory because we forgot that at the very creation of the world, God lovingly fashioned us in His image, bestowing on us gifts and skills and special interests that God intends for us to use to reflect His glory and His image to others, to give glory to Him alone theories that it was a struggle in Jesus' day, and we know it was a struggle in Martin Luther's day. And if I took a poll, which I won't, but if I took a poll this morning, I would suspect it's still a struggle in our day. Instead of keeping all the glory for ourselves, how do we reflect that back to God? Perhaps we can take a page from the personal piety of Johann Sebastian Bach, who oftentimes, when he was beginning a musical composition, wrote J.J. at the top. Translated, that means Jesus, help me. And at the end of every single piece of music he wrote, it included S.D.G. Soli Dei Gloria. Glory to God alone. Now, Sam has been tutoring me in all things Bach because he is our resident expert on that. And as we were talking about this, he reminded me that Bach was not exactly the most humble man you might run across. Which, knowing what a tremendous gift God has given him, perhaps is a little understandable. So, it's very interesting to me that any time Bach set about to use this tremendous gift, he surrounded it with prayer. Jesus, help me. And to glory to God alone. And I'm sure he was excited if people liked what he wrote, but that was really not his ultimate concern. His desire would be to praise and to delight God through his music. God has created us for his own good pleasure, baby giggles and all. He has bestowed on us gifts of creativity and nurturing and caring that we might give him glory by reflecting his image in the way that we use those gifts to love God and our neighbors. We know that God has richly blessed us with many teachers and preachers, parents and grandparents, aunts and uncles, friends and neighbors whose lives have been defined by gratitude and this idea of gratefulness to God. We have all been blessed by people who have modeled the way creating and nurturing and caring gives God the glory by reflecting God's love onto others. Like the grandmother, who bakes love into everything that comes out of her oven reflects God's care for others. And like the teacher, who reflects God's nurturing by spending extra time with a student who is struggling. Our lives have been marked by the witness of so many loved ones whose lives manage to do what we seek to do, to reflect God's glory. We have been marked by those who delighted in praising God through their gifts and who are now enjoying eternal life with their Savior. So today, as we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation, we also give thanks for those whom we know, whose lives have changed us, who follow Paul's exhortation from 1 Corinthians that says, so whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do everything for the glory of God. May we be imitators of them as they were imitators of Christ. If you would turn in your bulletins to the All Saints Day with me that is listed, please join with me as we remember and give thanks for those who are part of the life of Second Presbyterian Church. We remember the great ancestors of our faith, from Abraham and Sarah to Paul and Phoebe. We remember the prophets and priests, the ministers and teachers who have taught us the way of God. We remember our grandparents and parents, aunts and uncles, those who have gone before us in our life. husbands and wives and parents whose lives ended too soon. Let us pray. Great are you, O Lord, and greatly to be praised. Great is your power, and of your wisdom there is no end. We are grateful for all the ways we see you at work in our world, creating, nurturing, and caring. Particularly this morning on this All Saints' Day, we are grateful for those who have taught us how to create and nurture and care by their own example, especially thinking of those whom we have lost in this past year from our lives. Jim Raines, Jack Marshall, Ray Carson, Patty Cunningham, Robert Allen Johnson, Linda Taylor. Hear us now as we silently give thanks for the lives of these brothers and sisters in Christ who were connected to our church, as well as for other friends and loved ones whom we have lost in the past year. Trust and hope of resurrection and the promise of new life in Christ.